It's been a busy last couple of weeks for me at the Refuge, which I bring up only because, while there's always stuff to do, early to mid-November is normally a bit slower, with a lot of catch-up paperwork and such, but not so much so with stuff involving schools. However, that's not been the case this November. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been through the Visitor Services staff annual planning meeting, which is a two-day gig. I visited with a local second-grade class about wilderness survival skills. That also turned into a two-part thing. I went to Manicotic for a couple of days to help with a hunter education class. Hello, Mrs. O'Sullivan, and the students who shared those 2 days. I was able to visit with the Head Start preschool class, and in that case, they came to our office because we have a fair amount of really cool things to see and touch, such as birds and furs and bones and skulls. I took a day off earlier this week to get my boat put away for the winter, ahead of the most recent snow. That's a subtle hint for those who haven't done that yet. For those who heard last week's bit about tarps, feel free to laugh at me. I bought a tarp that, by measurement, should have been an okay fit for my boat, and it was a couple of feet short, meaning I had to go with that big one, and I need to pick up a smaller one to finish the job. Until then, the boat's 90-something percent covered. And yesterday, I got to visit with a local first-grade class about things animals from around our area are either doing or have done to get ready for winter themselves. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. As a part of talking to that first grade class, we considered 3 elements that were a request from the teacher: migration, insulation, and hibernation. So we took an hour and delved into what some of our area's wildlife do with regards to those 3 things, or how they handle the winter weather for those that choose to stay. Today, I'd like to take a single aspect of that, hibernation, specifically as it pertains to our area's brown bears. I covered a lot of this on an episode a number of years ago, so I'll fess up to that right now. Truthfully, I had that visit yesterday on my brain as I was considering a topic for this week, and that often provides motivation. So let's revisit just what's happening right now with our area's bears. I suggested once, meaning it as humor, that bears are something like Washington Irving's real-life Rip Van Winkles, though the protagonist of that tale used a bit of liquor to help him along, and he did it to get away from a nagging wife. Not so with bears. For them, it is simply a way to cope with weather in a time of the year when there's not enough food to sustain them. And that really is the driving reason for why animals are where they are when the weather gets tough or extreme. Is there enough food? With birds, the robins are gone, but your average magpie does just fine because it will eat pretty much anything and everything. Rodents, such as Arctic ground squirrels and marmots, can't get enough of the grasses and other vegetation they need, so they go the way of the bear and find a good hole in which to ride out the winter. And then there are those bears. They feed like maniacs in the fall in order to have the fat stores to see it through another Alaskan winter. Bear hibernation is fascinating to consider, and for a number of reasons. While I just mentioned that bears hibernate because there's just not enough food available, that's not always the case everywhere. At times, it's not 100% true here. A few years back, during one of our not-so-wintery winters, a large brown bear was spotted on a fresh moose kill near Togiak Lake in late January, if I remember the month correctly. Our biologist got photos, and the thought then was that it had been warm enough that he woke up and went out and got himself some fresh meat. So if food sources are abundant and the weather remains warm, bears don't have to hibernate. To back that up further, bears in zoos won't hibernate if food is available, though they are less active and tend to sleep more than usual. Getting ready for a nice long slumber kicks off in the fall. Bears have to locate and eat enough food to build up fat reserves that will last them through the many months they'll be in the den. In bulking up for winter, brown bears can consume as much as 20,000 calories daily. In other words, they turn into something like your average teenager. I'm just kidding on that. In my defense, I have 2 teens. I consider teens fair game, where kidding is concerned. Brown bears around the Bristol Bay region enter their dens in October or November and come out in April or May. The females and cubs, as a rule, are the first to enter and the last to leave. Den sites are often located on mountain slopes of 30 degrees or more. It's thought that bears choose such sites because of the better drainage they provide. There's less chance for water seepage or flooding. Another factor could be construction-related, whereas the material excavated during construction of the den is more easily deposited downhill. Dens are often horizontal and lead back to a denning chamber that's 5 or 6 feet removed from the entrance. The tunnel is around 3 feet in diameter, and the denning chamber varies depending on the size of the bear, but can be up to 7 feet long and 5 feet around. During hibernation, a bear's body undergoes unique changes to cope with sleeping for such long periods of time. They don't need to eat or drink during this time, and rarely urinate or defecate, if at all. During hibernation, a bear's heart rate drops from 98 beats per minute to about 10 beats per minute, and their breathing slows to about half. Their metabolism also slows, and their digestive organs and kidneys almost completely shut down. They lower their body temperatures by 8 to 12 degrees, and fat stores that were added in the fall are broken down for energy. While some protein is used as well, muscle mass is largely conserved, and bears usually do not become appreciably weaker during the hibernation period. While hibernating, bears lose approximately 30% of their body weight. Put another way, a 600-pound bear comes out in the spring at 420 pounds. While hibernating, a bear's body transforms into a model of conservation, efficiency, and recycling. If you think about it, for months on end, they don't take in any fluids at all, yet they never become dehydrated. And even though they don't urinate, they do lose water through moisture in their exhaled breath. Such dehydration would seem to be extremely detrimental. However, a hibernating bear's physiology allows it to get just enough water from the metabolization of fat. Water is a byproduct of this process, and the bears are able to meet with their water needs from this. And what about that lack of urination? Urea, which is what we are expelling from the body when we urinate, is harmful if it builds up in the body. Yet bear physiology is able to get around that as well. Urea is a nitrogen compound that is a byproduct during the process of protein being metabolized. Although it's not fully understood, bears are able to convert the urea back into protein to restart the cycle. Something else that's really kind of cool is that the cubs are born during the hibernation period. Pregnant females give birth about 2 months into hibernation. The cubs aren't able to walk or feed on their own until they're about 6 months old. The den provides a safe environment for them as they grow. These cubs need considerable parental care before they are able to leave the den. Not only does the mother have to store enough fat to survive for around a half year for her without eating, she must also store enough to be able to nurse her newborns. The cubs only weigh 15 ounces at birth, but grow very quickly, and will weigh something like 30 pounds when they emerge from their den in the spring. While bears hibernate during the winter, they aren't always asleep the whole time. Bears can and do wake up and will move around inside the den. Bears will shift body positions periodically to prevent sores from developing and to better conserve heat. Sometimes they do come out and eat a bit of snow or urinate. Also, they will leave their dens if the den becomes flooded or is otherwise damaged. As mentioned, they don't have to hibernate if the weather remains warm and food is available, and the hibernation period varies depending on location. As you might guess, the further north and colder it is, the longer they tend to hibernate. In the colder northern parts of Alaska, they might spend in excess of 7 months of the year in their dens. Bears in the warmer coastal regions of the state hibernate for something like 2 to 5 months, depending on where they're at. In some areas, bears may stay active more or less all winter. So there you go, in case you were wondering about what our bears are doing right now. To all the classes I've had a chance to visit with of late, thanks for including me and the refuge in what you do. It's been a lot of fun. Have a great weekend, everyone. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.